My name is Ronnie, and I'd like to start with a couple of questions. How do we as a church maximize our potential? And how do you, as an individual Christian, how do you maximize your potential as a follower of Jesus? Now, I think that the answer to that question... There you go. Good. Good. Getting warmer. Excellent. Very, very good. Okay, we're good. How do we maximize our potential as a church? How do you maximize your potential as an individual Christian? I think it's the same way. It's not something you can measure. You know, folks want to talk about maximizing the potential of a church. You know, it's something you can measure. You know, size of the building, height of the steeple, number of the people, number of movers and shakers. It has nothing to do with it. Maximizing your potential as an individual person, it all comes down to the greatest thing in the world, the greatest object, the greatest force, the greatest impact on your soul, which is love. The kind of love that God invented, and there is absolutely nothing that is a more powerful source upon a powerful force upon any soul than the power of love. And please don't whittle it down to niceness. You know, love is being nice. I'm nice. You're nice. He's nice. She's nice. And we're all just sort of nice, benign, nice. No. Love is many things, and it certainly involves manners. But it involves a courageous willingness to be for another person in every way possible. Let me tell you a story that I used to tell a lot during our, whenever I used to teach our welcome classes here, our First Colony 101 classes. True story. Happened to a lady in our church who's, she's no longer here. She lives out in West Texas now. But have you ever had a case of mistaken identity where, you know, you go up to somebody and you said, oh, you are so-and-so. And, you know, that person is not who you thought they were, or maybe vice versa, that's happened to you. Well, there's a lady in our church by the name of Judy Hill, and Judy never meets a stranger. She had a vivacious personality, and she was, one evening, she was going to a Tupperware party. This is several years ago. Do they still have Tupperware parties? I don't know. Anyway, they were going to like a Tupperware party, and she was going with a friend of hers, more of an acquaintance, by the name of Andrea. And she thought she knew where Andrea lived, but, you know, this is pre-GPS. And so she pulls up to this house, walks up to the house that she assumes and presumes is Andrea's house, and she knocks on the screen door. They had a screen door, looks in, sees a family eating dinner. And Judy never meets a stranger, and so in her vivacious way, she said, hey, how y'all doing? And they said, well, We're fine. We're fine. How are you? Great. Sure is hot out. Yes. Rather warm. Would you like to come in for a moment? Sure. So she just walks right on into this house, and the family's having dinner. Judy, if she were here today, she would tell you that she remembers vividly their menu. They were having chicken, mashed potatoes, green beans, and the family says, well, would you like to pull up a chair? Yeah. So she just pulls up a chair, sits right down, and begins to eat dinner with this family. Now, what you must know is that this is going on now for 10 to 15 minutes, and every member of this family is hoping that somebody else in the family knows exactly who this strange lady is. And Judy just assumes that her friend Andrea is, you know, delayed in another room or upstairs, something like that. And finally, she said, well, my goodness gracious, where is Andrea and when is she going to be ready? And at that point, the father realized, everybody realizes, this lady is clueless. And he said something to the effect of, we don't know when Andrea is going to be ready. Andrea doesn't live here. We don't know anybody by the name of Andrea. Judy says she simply stood up and said, your meal was delicious. Thank you. As she crawled on out the door. When she told me that story, I asked her if she had any regrets over the whole thing, and she said, yeah, that I didn't stay for dessert. And she told me that the next time she was in the neighborhood, she wanted to stop by, knock on the door and say, hey, y'all remember me? Case of mistaken identity. You know, we've got a cool sign out front here. It says, First Colony Church of Christ. Are we? Well, that's what the sign says. Jesus says, the telltale sign that you belong to me is love. The telltale sign that Ronnie, I'm a Christian. I've got my baptismal certificate. Are you walking with the Lord? The sign that indicates that I am is that I am pursuing a life of love. Love doesn't just matter. It matters most. And please don't whittle it down. Don't dilute it to niceness. I'm nice. You're nice. Everybody's nice. There is no greater force than the force of Christian love. Reviewing from last week, we're in this classic text of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The main point here is that in Christ's economy, love takes you from good to great. And that the priority of love, love doesn't just matter, it matters most. Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm just a gong or a cymbal. You know, over the last few weeks, you've been watching this body come together. And this body is made up of various parts. Just like a church body is made up of various parts. Not every person in this church can do everything, but everybody can do something. And you have various gifts. But without this, you may be the most gifted person around. Do you know how much I can give? Do you know how well I can speak? Do you know how fine I can sing? Do you know what I can lead and mobilize? But without love, it's just noise. Just noise. But with love, whatever you do is beautiful and it lasts. Wasn't it Mother Teresa who said, very few of us can do great things in this world, but all of us can do ordinary things with great love. And then we went over the practice of love last week. As Paul doesn't necessarily define it, he just describes it, the practice of love, how that love chooses to act and not act when you're responding to emotional hurt, when you get paper cuts, relational paper cuts, and we're all going to get paper cut by one another. And paper cuts hurt. And as we deal with our differentness, as we respond to disappointment, here's the way he describes love. Love's patient. It's kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. Not proud. Not rude. Not self-seeking. Not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Doesn't delight in evil. Rejoices in truth. In other words, it doesn't gloat over another person's misfortune. And it's always protecting, always trusting, hoping, persevering. Love never fails. Now, you read that list, and here's what you're tempted to do. I know I'm tempted to do this. You're tempted to go, but, what about this? What about this exception? What about that exception? He says, I want you to lean into this. Lean into loving one another. Lean into having soft hearts toward each other. Don't be the kind of person who pursues a big career in a small heart. Lean into love. And then the last thing he says, and this is sort of what I want to underscore today, he's talked about the priority of love, the practice of love, and now the permanence of love. How that love is actually your ultimate reality, both now and in the age to come. Christian, as far as you can see down your future is the love of Christ. It's our ultimate reality. He says love never fails. In other words, it's not a fad, not a short-term strategy. You can count on love being here. But where there are prophecies, now they'll be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it'll pass away. Where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Listen carefully. He says, of all the wonderful gifts, love is the greatest gift of all. Tongues, glossolalia, the phenomenon of spiritual communication, we'll talk some about that next week. Prophecies, knowledge, but when perfection comes, in other words, when Jesus comes back and we are ushered into the fullness of the kingdom of God, there will no longer be need for prophecies. They'll all be fulfilled. All mysteries will be answered. No need to try to persuade anyone to come to Christ, because all who are in the kingdom will be sold out for Jesus and will spend an eternity praising him. And as majestic as certain gifts are, love is the only thing that's permanent. Of all the gifts, love's the greatest. Now, when I was a child, he says, verse 11, I taught like a child, thought like a child, reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Hey, how many of you are 18 or older? Raise your hand. That's good. How many of you think or act like a five-year-old? Do not raise your hand. You know, when I was a five-year-old, I couldn't wait to get up early on Saturday morning and watch cartoons. That was my deal. Get up early Saturday morning, watch cartoons. I can't remember the last time I watched cartoons on a Saturday morning. It's been at least 5-6 weeks, you know, since I was doing that. When I was a child, I thought like a child, acted like a... Here's what Paul's saying. Earlier in my Christian life, I may have thought that certain gifts were the key ingredients in a church, but let me tell you, you walk with Jesus a while and you realize of all the gifts, love is the greatest. And of all the things you learn in your life, you'll never learn anything more important than this. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You'll never learn anything more important than that. Bathe in the love of Christ and express the love of Christ. And then he goes on and he says, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we'll see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I'm fully known. Have you ever looked through a glass and it was smudged and you couldn't quite see, and you look through that and, Jose, is that you through there? I think that's you, but I'm not sure. He says, that's the way we are now when we look at God. Anybody here have any questions about God besides me? Sure. Anybody here have anything you don't understand about the Lord besides me? Sure you do. Right now, we're looking through things that are smudged and dark, and we're getting a reflection of God, but it's not a clear reflection like we would find in a 21st century mirror. He said, but the day's coming. You're going to know him as fully and as clearly as he knows you now. Now, there are things right now you don't know and you cannot comprehend. But here's his point. But here's something you can know. Love is the greatest thing of all. But what about this complex theological topic? What about this mystery? Of all you may not know, of everything you may wrestle with that may not be clear until you get into eternity, this can be clear. Love is the greatest thing of all. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Why? Because someday faith becomes sight. Christian hope, which is solid anticipation, becomes reality. But love is your eternal destiny and identity. You will always bathe in the love of God, and you will express it and experience it in its fullness. Now, very quickly, this love that's the greatest, I want to very quickly just highlight four qualities of it. You ready? Here we go. Number one, the greatest kind of love, it is universal. It is to all. And in this church, we want everybody to be welcome. Red, yellow, black, white, as the song says, you're precious in His sight. Even if you're here today and you're wearing a Green Bay Packers tie. Gary, stand up, would you? Turn around, would you? Don't applaud. Do not applaud. That is not applause worthy. Now, with that in mind, I want you to listen to this scripture. You ready? Love your enemies. Gary, I love you, brother. Pray for those who persecute you. I'm praying you lose tonight. If you only love those who love you, what reward will you get? Universal love. It's to all. And it really is, even if I make love niceness, and you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. To the person that you have forgiven, but they won't forgive you. Don't ever let how somebody treats you determine how you're going to treat them. You let how Jesus has treated you determine how you'll treat them. Secondly, love's tied to Jesus. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, and as I have loved you, love each other. I know of a Christian university professor who was teaching a class to his students, and he said, gang, I want to show you how Jesus treated a prostitute. And one of his students raised his hand and said, Professor, I just want you to know Jesus never met a prostitute. And the professor said, he most certainly did. I want to show you book, chapter, and verse where Jesus met a prostitute. And he said, I'm telling you, Jesus never, ever met a prostitute. And the professor said, he most certainly did. Look, let's turn to this passage. And the guy's waving his hand and said, you're not hearing me. I'm telling you, Jesus never saw a prostitute. He never put the label upon that woman, prostitute. You telling me when he saw Mary Magdalene, he said, there's a prostitute? He said, I believe when Jesus saw Mary Magdalene and anybody like her, he saw the sacred in her. He saw the possibilities in her. He saw the holy in her. He saw the beautiful in her. He saw the image of God in her. That professor wrote about that experience later, and he said, I never mind having my theology sharpened and improved. I just don't like having it sharpened and improved by snotty-nosed freshmen. Love is absolutely, it's the greatest. It is the greatest. When it's universal, when it's tied to Jesus, when it's not a hobby. I don't know about you, I've got hobbies. Golf is one of my hobbies. I've played golf twice this year. It's a hobby. It's not a job. If it's too hot, I don't play. If it's too cold, I don't play. If my wife says, hey, Saturday morning, let's just go out for breakfast, I don't play. If the grandkids say, Pops, let's get together, I don't play golf. I play golf when it's convenient, when it's not too hot, not too cold. But you know what? I'm called to love when it's cold and when it's raining and when it's inconvenient and when it costs. Love is the greatest when it's universal, when it's tied to Jesus, when it's not a hobby. And get this now, when it's rooted in reality and not in a dream world. You've heard me refer to Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Listen to this quote. Those who love their dream of a Christian community more than the actual Christian community itself become destroyers of that Christian community, even though their personal intentions may be ever so honest, earnest, and sacrificial. But the bright day of Christian community dawns wherever the early morning mists of dreamy visions are lifting. Christian community, it's not some ideal we have to realize. It's a reality created by God in Christ in which we may participate. In other words, I don't place my vision of what you need to be over you. I want to encourage you, bless you, help you. I'm not called to love my vision of First Colony Church of Christ, what I think you ought to be in order to get my approval. I'm called to love you. Reality. Right here, this zip code, flesh and blood. What's the old poem? Kind of silly, but, you know, to live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with saints we know, now that's a different story. But love, that's the greatest. It's rooted in reality. Bottom line, gang, lean into love. Soften your heart. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In our culture that loves to dishonor and look for a reason to nitpick, show honor. Show respect. Listen to people. Listen to their stories. Make people feel important around you. Make them feel as important around you as they are to Jesus. And never let how somebody treats you determine how you'll treat them. All right, I want us to close, and I want you to watch a brief video, just a couple of minutes long. Let's put it up here on the screen. Let it go ahead and be starting. And as the video starts, let me set it up and sort of tell you the story. This is a scene that happened last weekend, not yesterday, but a week ago yesterday, at the South Carolina-Georgia football game in Columbia, South Carolina. At the South Carolina football games, they would regularly have a military family of the game that they would bring out on the field and recognize. And on this day, they had the Fayo family from Kershaw, South Carolina. Mom and the two kids are out there on the field. Dad is on active duty. But their first surprise that day was when they saw a video message from Dad and husband playing on the Jumbotron, and then they got another surprise. So I want you to watch this, and when it's all said and done, I want to make just one brief comment. Hey, I think that's pretty cool. Now, that little video, that reality touched a nerve with so many people simply because love is the greatest. Faith, hope, what will we do without faith? What will we do without hope? Love is the greatest gift of all. And whenever you see it in action in a family, we treat each other with honor. Whenever you see it in action in a church, it's a beautiful thing. It touches that part of us created in the image of God. And I want to remind you again, nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. God's love for you is strong and powerful and eternal. Receive it afresh today. All right? All right. Let me ask you to take a moment and turn, get out your order of worship. Let me invite our praise team, please, back to the stage. And if you'll look in your order of worship, you see a communication card. Please fill out that communication card completely. And if you would like to talk with one of our church leaders here about baptism or prayer or becoming a member here, anything at all, just indicate so on that card, and we would be happy to get in touch with you. As soon as you fill out this card, please take it and pass it to the ends of the aisle, and these cards will be collected momentarily. Now then, at this time, let me invite Jim Howard, our children's minister. Jim, are you nearby? Would you come on up and talk to us here for just a moment about Pumpkin Patch? Now, when this service is over, if you would like to pray with one of our church leaders this morning, when this service is over, some of our church leaders are going to be right down front, some will be in the back, and if you'd like to pray with one of us, we would love to take a moment and do that. We can step aside to a private place And it's our privilege to pray with you over something joyful, over a challenge, a point of heaviness, whatever it may be, it would be our pleasure. So, Jim, talk to us.